There's nothing more important we can do than pray. And prayer is the most effective ministry of all ministries. We'll be talking about keys to effective prayer on the broadcast today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is something remarkable. The disciples in Scripture may have asked Jesus many different questions. Teach us about this, teach us about this, teach us about that. But it's only recorded in the Bible that they asked him, teach us about one particular thing. You know what it was? Luke 11. Teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples. Is there anything more important we can do than pray? Is there any ministry more effective we can have than the ministry of prayer? I believe that the power of prayer is absolutely limitless, that the only ceiling on it is the will of God. Otherwise, all things are possible to him who believes, to her who believes. And yet, it's so easy to be distracted from prayer. It's so easy to pray ineffectively. It's so easy not to pray at all. So I want to talk to you today about the power of prayer. Look, in the natural, there are only limited things we can do to see God's work fulfilled in the earth. In the natural, we can't save a fly, let alone save the soul of a human being. In the natural, we can't transform a life from darkness to light, from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom. We need the power of God. And that power is available through prayer. So not only is prayer about intimacy, not only is prayer about deepening our relationship with God and spending quality time with him, getting to know him better and being changed by his presence, prayer is also effectual. Prayer makes a difference. Yes, prayer changes things. So my question for you today on The Line of Fire, what do you feel are some of the most effective keys to prayer that you've seen over the years in your own life? If someone asked you for your number one or number two, number three, most effective keys to prayer, how to really break through, how to really prevail, how to really get answers, what would you tell that person? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or you can weigh in online on our Facebook page and join those commenting already. What do you feel are some of the most important keys to having breakthroughs in prayer? And Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. That's Ask Dr. Brown. I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 11. And through the entire broadcast, I want to be sharing scripture with you. I want to be sharing quotes that will inspire you and strengthen you. Perhaps this will help push you through to deeper prayer. Perhaps this will encourage you to believe God in the midst of impossible situations. Perhaps this will give you that added strength to persevere. So Luke 11. Verse 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and Luke tells us over and over about the prayer life of Jesus. He's praying when he's immersed in water in Luke, the third chapter. He's separating himself from the crowds who've come to hear him and to be healed, to meet with his Father in solitary places, obviously so he can come back in the presence and will of God and minister that to those people. He's praying on the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke, the ninth chapter. He's praying in an agony in Luke, the 22nd chapter in the garden, and it goes on and on through the Gospels, the extraordinary prayer life of Jesus. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John, meaning John the Immerser, taught his disciples. And he said to them, here giving the pattern for prayer. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. That is the shorter version of what we have in Matthew, the sixth chapter, and it also reflects some of the Jewish prayer of the day. This is a pattern. We know it's a pattern because Jesus prays many other prayers himself, and we see many other prayers recorded in the New Testament. We're going to talk about keys to effective prayer. Who knows what God can do as we cry out to him?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is there anything we can do that's more important than prayer? Oh, I understand that we can neglect certain things and put on this super spiritual front. Oh, I'm just praying. Oh, I'm just seeking the Lord. And neglect our families and neglect our work and neglect other things. But assuming that we're taking care of our basic responsibilities in life as human beings, is there anything more effective we can do than prayer? Oh, action is essential. You know me, I'm an action person. Action is essential. But I agree with what S.D. Gordon said, and I have to tell you often that I can be guilty of not putting this into practice. S.D. Gordon said, prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. I can be so consumed, so caught up with doing the work, getting the work done, burden to reach out, burden to speak, burden to write, burden to minister, that I can forget that everything ultimately flows out of prayer. I can know it, but let's say not live it out adequately. I wonder if that's the same with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What are some keys to effective prayer? If someone asked you, hey, I'm getting to know the Lord, I'm developing a prayer life, what are some of the most important things I need to do to really pray and break through? Not just to maintain a prayer life, but to maintain an effective prayer life. Just because we're spending time with God on some level doesn't mean that we're being effective. I'm not trying to lay a trip on anyone. I'm trying to encourage you to say there's more. There are more promises in the Word. In fact, there are so many promises in the Word that we could easily spend several lifetimes, many lifetimes, exploring the power and the potential of these promises. 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Jesus, after giving us the pattern of prayer, which is a whole wonderful teaching in itself, and something that, by all means, we can pray verbatim and not just as a pattern. He then said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, his importunity, perhaps his persistence as well, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Let's think about this for a minute. This is telling us that you've got to be bold and you've got to be forthright, and in a sense that God asks for, even demanding, even knocking in the door in the middle of the night says to wake someone up. In Isaiah 62, God says to the children of Israel to give themselves no rest, to the watchmen he's appointed on the walls praying for Jerusalem, to give themselves no rest and to give him no rest. Yeah, I understand it's a figure of speech because he doesn't rest or slumber in that sense, but to give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem, the praise of all the earth. Jesus then follows up this parable by saying, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Yes, it is speaking of persistence. Yes, it is speaking of being forthright. Yes, it is speaking of praying as if you're waking someone up in the middle of the night saying, hey, 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 come on. I'm sleeping, man. Hey, hey, I need help. I have an urgent situation. I need help. Jesus says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He won't give bread. Excuse me, he won't give a stone when we ask for bread. And yet, in the 18th chapter of Luke, Jesus gives another parable, and there Yeshua says this. Luke records, Yeshua told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I'll read more of that in a moment, but think of what's being said. The Lord is telling us that you're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to hold on. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to overcome unbelief and discouragement and weariness. He's telling us before we start, You're going to be tempted to cave in, lose heart, faint, quit. Let me read something that Leonard Ravenhill said, and then I'll go to the phones, and we'll intersperse your comments, your thoughts with scriptures and some other quotes in my comments. Leonard Ravenhill, saintly revivalist intercessor who went to be with the Lord in 94 at the age of 87, had the privilege of being a dear friend of his the last 5 years of his life, and he had perhaps the most powerful prayer life, certainly the most broken-hearted, intense prayer life of anyone that I knew. He said this: there is no field more unexplored in Christian experience and possibility than this limitless field of prayer. Prayer means care for souls. Prayer means pain. Prayer means privacy, for often the battle is waged alone. Prayer means power. Prayer, Luther said, means sweat on the soul. Prayer means filling in the sufferings of Christ. We cannot shoot fire-belching jet planes with slingshots, nor repulse tanks with bottles. Less still can we push back the powers of darkness with mere words. Jude talks of praying in the Holy Ghost. This praying alone can bring to pass the purpose of a holy God and put to flight the army of alien powers. This praying is no toy soldier's game. This is realism. This is a fight to the death. No parley with the enemy. No truce. No terms. A fight to the death, talking spiritually, talking about the intensity, the calling, the burden of prayer. I ask again, is there anything more effective we can do than pray? How do we break through? How do we really see answers? Let me say again, I know the importance of just communing with the Lord, and I don't want to put just in front of that, but I mean, if that was all that we did, commune with him, that would be wonderful. But prayer is not only communing with him. Prayer is going to him as he has told us to. He has told us to ask over and again. Charles Spurgeon said, like it or not, asking is the law of the kingdom. He's called us to ask. He's invited us to ask. And certain things will not happen unless we come to him in faith-filled, fervent, focused prayer. And that will be the key to answers, breakthroughs, transformation. Hey, friend, does your heart beat with mind? Do you want to see a moral and cultural revolution through the power of the gospel? Do you want to see a church revived? Do you want to see a nation touched? Do you want to see the nations touched? Do you want to see Israel saved? You want to see God glorified? It's going to happen one way only, through prayer. Not only through prayer, but first and foremost through prayer. 866-34-TRUTH. Kelly in Fort Meade, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. I was going to just say that I think an important factor would be actually just to pray the Word of God. Just to pray the Word of God, to actually speak the Scriptures back unto the Lord as you pray, because the Bible also talks about how, you know, His Word won't return to Him void.
Mm.
But it would prosper, you know, and think it would accomplish that which pleases Him and prosper the thing to which it was sent. So praying the actual Word of God, and
yeah.
A lot of times we want to pray our will. And so when we become one with Christ, your will becomes His will. It's all one thing. It's all one
yep.
will.
And, you know, Jesus speaks to that directly in John 15 when he says, if you abide in me
mm-hmm.
and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you.
Yes.
So that when our wills become intertwined, then what we ask will be in harmony with his will. What do you personally experience? What happens in your own life as you pray the Scriptures out loud?
I guess it becomes a lot. It becomes more real. I begin to believe, almost like saying, we speak of those things that be not as though they were, even though when I pray for it, I can't see it. But then you begin
yeah.
to act as if it's already happened.
There's something faith-building, supernatural
right.
faith-building that takes place.
Yes.
Yeah, and look, the fact is we're human beings and we're frail without God working in our lives. And it's easy to think that everything we touch and feel and see around us has the final say. And yet the Scriptures are filled with but God.
That's right.
But God.
Yes.
Yeah, and it helps us renew our minds. You know, one other thing, since you mentioned praying the Scriptures, many people have found the prayers that Paul prayed
mm-hmm.
for the different groups that he wrote to, like the prayers that he prayed for the Ephesians or the prayers that he prayed for the Philippians or
yeah.
Colossians.
Uh-huh.
They're so rich, and instead of having them be Paul praying for the Ephesians, you turn it as a prayer for yourself. Lord, I pray for me. And you read those words out loud,
yes.
and it is very rich and wonderful. Pastors and leaders can pray those things for their congregations or
yes.
parents for their kids. So hey, thank you for weighing in. Good way to get us started, Kelly. God
All
bless
right.
you.
No, God bless you. Bye-bye.
866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before I go to the phones, let me just read you a couple of more powerful quotes. I want to repeat this one from S.D. Gordon. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. Gordon Lindsay, himself a powerful man of prayer, said, "He who moves mountains must make prayer a life habit." He said, "God will send his angels to protect the man or woman who prays." He said, "Determined prayer by faithful prayer warriors can make possible the successful gospel invasion of the foreign fields." Wow. Prayer makes a difference. Let's keep our focus. Let's be people of prayer. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Our focus is prayer. Not just praying, but praying effectively. Prevailing in prayer. Breaking through in prayer. Getting answers to our prayers. Are there keys to effective prayer? You may have found some things that just help you to pray in general. That's great. That's wonderful. That's essential. But if you're calling in, I want to ask you in particular, not just what helps you to pray, but what helps you to pray effectively, what helps you to break through in prayer, what helps you to get answers in prayer. May I remind you that Jesus himself said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." I know many times that we grow weary. Maybe we don't see answers. It almost feels random. Doesn't matter if you pray or don't pray. This situation changes for the better. This changes for the worse. And you can't tell how it connects with your prayer life or the things you've been asking for. Or maybe just the busyness of life. Or maybe just tiredness or exhaustion or demonic attack. Or hey, if we're not walking with the Lord, if we're letting sin in our lives, that's certainly going to keep us from prayer. In the same way, regular fellowship with God will keep us from sin. But the fact is, if we can really lock in, if we can really put our roots down in prayer, if we can really get that spiritual anchor down and cry out and seek him, breakthroughs will come. It's not just that the Word is filled with accounts of breakthroughs. All of us who've prayed consistently through the years have seen breakthroughs, sometimes dramatic breakthroughs, sometimes breakthroughs that floor you, that you say, "This is God." So what are some keys to effective prayer? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Ask Dr. Brown on our Facebook page. Good discussion taking place. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Ben in Spring Valley, New York, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. I think prayer, a lot of time when we pray, we have to realize who are we praying to. We're praying to a holy God. Mm-hmm. The Bible said if we have sin in our hearts, God will not hear from us.
Yep.
So we have to approach God. And the first thing we should do is based on the pattern that Jesus gave us. We should glorify God. And a lot of time we just rush into his presence, and we don't glorify God. And another thing, we pray selfishly. As James says, you ask and you don't get. Because you want to, whatever you ask is to, we come with a laundry list a lot of times to God.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, too, we pray and we don't pray according to his will. As it says in 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to his will, then he hears us and what we ask for.
Yeah, it sounds like we just lost you there, Ben. Not sure what happened. But, yeah, what the points Ben was making, starting first with the idea of having God glorified in our eyes. In other words, to pull away from everything else and to worship and to adore and to recognize who God is. If we can remind ourselves of who we are praying to, of his power, of his wisdom. I mean, think of this. You don't always have to do this. We're talking about keys. We're talking about things that can be effective and things are different in different lives, but this is a general truth. If you start here, recognizing who God is, Paul tells us in Philippians, the fourth chapter, that with the prayers and petitions we offer up to God, so we should come with our many needs and our concerns and our burdens, and we're asking him to do this and to move and to act. But if we start with recognition of who he is and honoring him and praising him, Paul says to offer those prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. If we say, Lord, you're great and wonderful and glorious, and there's none like you, and on and on and on, we praise him and adore him and recognize who he is and recognize how faithful he is, I'll tell you, it builds something in you. It builds a confidence. Hey, this is God. Yeah, I know my problems are big. I know this situation looks hopeless. I know there's pressure. I know in the natural, there's no answer. Hey, let me remind you that prayer is not asking God to just put his icing on your beautiful cake. Prayer is saying, God, there is no cake. Prayer is saying, God, there is no food. Prayer is saying, God, our backs are against the wall, and if you don't intervene, we can't make it. Most all the things I do in ministry require supernatural intervention from God. Otherwise, they can't happen. Otherwise, they're going nowhere fast. Prayer is crying out to a limitless God. Again, as I said earlier, the only ceiling on prayer is the will of God. Outside of his will, or within his will, I should say, all things are possible. And we need to cry out and take hold and pray with boldness and pray with forcefulness. Not as if we're assaulting God, but the way Jacob prayed in Genesis 32, we're not going to let go until we get the answer. It's one of the keys to prayer. Dave in Hooksett, New Hampshire, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
One thing that's so important is to follow up on your prayers to see if they've been answered, because often we pray for things and we kind of forget about them. In fact, this just happened today, just before your show began. I called someone I hadn't spoken to in a long time, and he had lost his business. He was on the verge of going to jail. His house was 24 months in arrears on payments, and he was kind of just really at the bottom, giving it up, and I've kind of shared with him many times, the breakthrough has occurred. You know, he is back on the right road. He got one of those loan modification things, so his house, him and his family now will be able to stay in this house. And the threat of the jail situation is gone, and it's miraculous. And he knows it is, and he doesn't even know why or how.
What this reminds me of is the larger principle of giving testimony and recording testimony and writing it down when there's definitely an answer, when God has really moved and something has really happened, to write it down, because we're going to forget it. We're going to forget it. We're going to lose sight of it. And then to share it with others, because it's so encouraging if 10 of us are in the same dire situation, the same pit, and we're crying out, and there seems to be no answer. And then you come and say, hey, I was in the same pit, and I cried out, and God answered, and here's what he did. Suddenly something builds in our lives. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling in and sharing that. The power of testimony, the power of thanksgiving. Do you write down answers to prayer? Do you share with people what God has done? Do you encourage one another with testimony? It is so, so life-giving. So focusing on who God is, praying the scriptures, testifying to what he's done, reminding ourselves, these are great and important principles. Okay, we've got 24 hours of teaching for you. Two series, the best series I ever taught on prayer and on intercession. 12 hours each on two CDs for your computer or MP3 player. We've cut the price in half and we're paying the postage. 24 hours of teaching for just $20 on prayer and intercession. Call today at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time. These teachings will bless and help you. 1-800-278-9978. God is faithful.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Prayer. Persisting in prayer. Focused prayer. Prayer that breaks through. Prevailing prayer. What are some of the keys to it? We're talking about that today on the line of fire. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. By the way, important article I just wrote came out on townhall.com. Just found out moments ago. How do you feel about a Christian America? How do you feel about a Christian America? Ah, interesting question. I think you'll enjoy the article. It's on townhall.com. Okay. Before I get back to your calls, keys to effective prayer, before we read some more scripture, Charles Finney preached on conditions of prevailing prayer, May 26, 1847. This was published in the Oberlin Evangelist. And he said this: the Bible most unequivocally asserts that all that is properly called prayer is heard and answered. Everyone that asketh, that is in the scriptural sense of the term, receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. This declaration is perfectly explicit and to the point. Second, he said, prayer is not always answered according to the letter, but often according to the spirit. Three, he said, no person can be saved unless in such a state of mind as to offer acceptable prayer. And we have to pray to God and ask him for mercy even to get into the kingdom. He says, many things are really answers to prayer which are not recognized as such by the suppliant nor by observers. So God can answer in many ways we don't even recognize. He said, much that is called prayer is not answered in any sense whatsoever. And it's not really prayer. He also said, what was this next point here? Oh, he's got this long, long qualifying point. Okay. All right, tell you what, I'm just going to leave off reading Finney there. And go back to Jesus' teaching on prayer in Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. She's a widow. She can't do anything. She doesn't have power in her society. The assumption is she doesn't have funds, she doesn't have influence, plus this guy doesn't fear God, so he's not concerned about doing what's right, and he doesn't care about people. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? God will answer. Justice will come, but will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he returns? That's telling me. Again, there are going to be obstacles. There is going to be much that stands in the way that gives us the feeling that God will not answer, that God will not hear, that God's not listening, that he's not listening to me, that I'm not praying prayers that he cares about, that he's not even there, that it's too late. Whatever the things are, we will be hit with discouragement. Look, Jesus is telling us up front that sometimes it's going to feel as if God is this immovable, untouchable object who can't be influenced. That's how it's going to feel. Don't cave in, he says. Don't get discouraged. Don't faint. He knows. He's the Father's Son. He knows like no one else knows. And he's telling us, don't lose heart. Don't quit. And it even may have the feeling of, here I am again, Lord. Here I am again. Lord, it's me again. Lord, grant justice. He will. He will. Perseverance. Perseverance is critically important to breakthroughs in prayer. We'll be back.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. It's Tuesday, which means our focus is Bible theology, apologetics, practical living. Wednesday, we focus on moral cultural issues. Thursday, Israel, Jewish people issues, Middle East. Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. Monday, whichever way the wind blows in terms of what's on my heart, what's on my mind after the weekend. But prayer is our focus today. Is there anything more important we can do than spend quality time with God? Not just relationally, which is the foundation of it all, but also effectually in terms of crying out, in terms of seeing answers. Isn't it the pattern of Scripture over and over and over that God responds to the prayers of his people? Look, even if you say, well, he ordains the prayers, however you work it out, the fact is when we don't pray, certain things won't happen. When we do pray, certain things will happen. When we pray in faith and according to the will of God. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What do you feel are some of the most important keys to effective prayer? Remember, our special resource offer, which you can order online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. 24 hours of teaching on prayer and intercession that will inspire you and really change your life. Mary in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to call and share something I gleaned from a book I read on conversational prayer. And to me, it was a revelation. This man talked about spending a lot of time with God and his private time with him. And devotional, I guess. And then he had gotten so busy, he hadn't. But when he went back, he expected somewhat of a scolding. And instead, he heard God say, I missed you. And that was such a revelation to me because I don't feel like God would ever miss me. Who am I that he would miss me, just one little human on the earth? And yet, he's our papa. He's our daddy. And it struck me so strongly that it just brought me to tears because he actually wants me to talk to him, and he wants me to hear him. And I can't do that unless I put some time aside.
Yeah.
And it was just so warm and wonderful to hear that from another person.
Yeah.
I hope it
and
helps
you know,
your listeners.
It reminds me also of the fact that he welcomes our praying. In other words, it's not a bother. One time we were praying for, I forget what the situation was, and our younger grandson, Connor, who's about to turn 8, you know, he was explaining, you know, we were praying for this, or this one was sick, or that one, and we hadn't seen an answer yet. And he said something like, you know, God doesn't have enough hands, just a little kid, you know, a few years ago, God doesn't have enough hands to touch everybody. You know, just a little kid trying to figure out why we don't see an answer. And sometimes, you know, it's almost like we're bothering God with our requests or just being a nuisance, where it's quite the contrary. And it is a mind-boggling thing. I know that the Father loves me deeply. I know that he enjoys my presence and company, but it still is mind-boggling. I'm sure I only know it in a fraction. And I'm sure if I recognized it more deeply, I'd spend more and more time with him. To think that God misses us, I mean, that's pretty intense, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's our papa. He's our Abba papa. Daddy.
Yeah, so we come into his presence with confidence and with boldness and knowing that, yeah, there could be obstacles and there could be situations where it looks like the answer is not forthcoming, and yet he is faithful and loving and kind. Hey, thanks for sharing that good word with us. 866-34-TRUTH. Walt in Fort. All right, we lost Walt there. Let's see, Paulette in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet.
So I'd like to share that in my growth as a Christian, I realized that you have to have a genuine transformation in knowing that God is absolutely real and every word that comes from him is absolutely true. And then start claiming his word in your prayer and just understanding that when we pray, we're giving him the recognition that we acknowledge him and showing that we rely on him. Because ultimately, God knows what we need. But in coming to him in prayer, we're giving him that recognition and that acknowledgement that we totally rely on him to be the barrier breaker, the one that comes through and shows up and shows out.
Yeah, and you know, that's a strength. Recognizing our limitation is the strength of prayer.
Absolutely. We have to sort of diminish ourselves in order to see him for who he is, the deity and the sovereignty of who God is.
Right, and again, when we recognize that all the things he's really called us to do in terms of winning people to the Lord and seeing the power of Satan broken and seeing God's name glorified in society, all the things he's called us to do cannot be done even with our best efforts. We could go without food or sleep the next million years and not accomplish any of that because it takes the power of God working through us. And that's why when the disciples were persecuted in Acts, the fourth chapter, they get together and they pray. They don't just have a strategic meeting. They don't just have a planning meeting or, you know, get in the top business and media people from the society and say, right, how do we overcome this? They cry out to God. And according to Acts, the fourth chapter, the 31st verse, the place where they're praying was shaken. That's divine intervention.
Absolutely.
That's the power
of
God. And then they spoke the word of God boldly. They were filled with the Spirit, and they saw amazing results that shook the city of Jerusalem. Think of that. First, the place where they were praying was shaken, and then the city was shaken. That's the power of God in answer to prayer. Hey, thanks for weighing in, Paulette. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me sum up again some of the keys for effective prayer. Our listeners have made some great comments. I want to sum up some thoughts based on Luke 11 and Luke 18. I preached on this at a Messianic congregation in Phoenix Saturday afternoon about keys to importunate prayer, the prayer that breaks through, that doesn't let go, that bold, persistent prayer. It's got to be focused. Prayer to be effective needs to be focused. We don't just want to be throwing out random requests only. Oh, yeah, sometimes something will come to mind kind of out of the blue, and I'll just lift it up to the Lord. But to really see ongoing breakthroughs, we need to be focused in our prayer time and focused in the things we're asking for. Just look at it like a horse with blinders that's about to race. It can only be looking in one direction and undistracted. Focused. What is it you're praying for? What is it you need? What is it that has to change? What is it that you're so burdened with and without seeing this breakthrough, life can't go on? What is that? Got to be focused. It's got to be fervent. You know, if something really matters, it's going to have our attention. Oh, God, help with my marriage in Jesus' name. Oh, God, my kids aren't doing well. Save them, Lord Jesus' name. You're not going to see breakthroughs like that. Just the end of the day when nothing's left, throw out a little prayer before you fall asleep and spend all your time and energy on effort and on everything else. No, how much does it really matter then? We're not going to see anything in life change. We're not going to see anything in life change at all with that type of lack of fervency. But when something really matters, we're fervent. Oh, you may pray loudly. You may pray softly. You may pray with tears. You may pray silently. You may pray with your whole body trembling. You may pray and never feel anything. I'm talking about the state of mind. I'm talking about the attitude. Fervent. God, I've got to see an answer. God, I've got to see a breakthrough. Lord, you're faithful. Lord, your name is being mocked. Lord, your promises are being mocked. Father, honor your word. Honor your name. Glorify Jesus. Act, work, move in this situation. Focused, fervent, and faith-filled. There's no use just going through a ritual. You say, well, how do I get faith? Well, remind yourself of what God has said. Meditate on his word. Speak it out. Read the accounts of others who've seen answers to prayer. Hear the testimonies of others. Repeat in your own life what God has done. Even one tiny little thing, stand on that. You saw one tiny little answer, but you knew it was absolutely God. There was no other possible explanation. I mean, it could have been as easy as you needed one penny and you couldn't get on the train or get where you're going without this one particular penny. And you said, God, I need a penny. And next thing you heard some shuffling above you and you look up and out of a tree falls a penny. I mean, it could be that tiny, but you said, that was God. Encourage yourself with answers to prayer and then stay in his presence and worship. As you do that through his word and through testimony and fellowship and communion, faith will rise. And then prayers that prevail, they will break through. You will see an answer. Something will give way. Oh, it may take a while, especially the larger things we're praying for, things that involve people's wills. But if you'll hang in there and believe God and worship him, answers will come. And in the meantime, you have the benefit of being in the presence of God. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, folks, for joining us on the Line of Fire today as we have focused on prayer. And I'll continue to do that the next hour. Those of you that want to listen online or catch the broadcast later, F.F. Bosworth, who, by the way, had a profound influence on A.W. Tozer. Bosworth said, if we undertake to pray for a thing, then we ought either to follow it up until we get the answer or withdraw the petition. Follow it up till we get the answer. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep persevering. Keep believing. You say, well, if I pray in faith one time, isn't that enough? Well, if you know that you know that you have the answer, then just praise God and worship him and recognize his faithfulness and go on and you'll see the answer. But perhaps it's like chopping down a tree. Perhaps each day God is answering. Each day you're seeing results. Each day things are happening, but you won't see the full answer until the tree comes crashing down. Look, God didn't have to do it like this, but this is his way of calling us to be his co-workers. This is his way of us working together with him. This is his way of us participating in his extraordinary kingdom plan. Remarkable, isn't it? And was it D.L. Moody who said this? Maybe I can even find the exact quote. I believe it was Moody, and I'm getting, hang on, I think I've got it. Here it is. Next to the wonder of seeing my Savior will be, I think, the wonder that I made so little use of the power of prayer. Ooh, can I repeat that? Next to the wonder of seeing my Savior will be, I think, the wonder that I made so little use of the power of prayer. It's a rebuke to us. It's also an invitation to us. 866-34-TRUTH. What are some keys that you found to seeing answers to prayer? Online, great discussion taking place on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Shoshana in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What I found with prayer, and it's to elaborate a little bit on an earlier caller who stated that praying the word of God is important, which it is, because God said, for one, that he is faithful to watch over his word to perform it. So we have to speak his word, and we're not speaking for him to asking him to do anything. His word in Psalms says it's already established. So when we pray his word, it's already established. God said his word should not return into a void. Jesus Christ has already gone through the heavens. He is the word of God. Our faith is locked up in the word of God. So when we pray the prayers of God, then we see manifestation in our lives. Our problem is we pray carnal prayers from the flesh. And by doing that, we give a foothold to the devil. And he keeps our prayers from being answered. So when we pray the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, he's already returned to the Father, established, finished, and completed, and standing at his right hand. He said, if you ask anything in my name, anything, it will be given to you through the word. He is the word. So if we need anything from God, we have to go to him through the word. The same way when we came to salvation in God, we came through the word. It's going to take that same word to keep us here on earth the way we need to be kept.
Yeah, it's a simple, clear focus. And when we align ourselves with God and his word and Jesus himself, whoever lives to make intercession for us, who's at the right hand of the Father, representing us, advocating for us, there is extraordinary power. It's almost like shooting an arrow. And I'm not an arrow shooter, but you pull that bow back and get that thing aligned, and it has force to it. So we get ourselves aligned with God's will. We get ourselves aligned with Jesus. We get ourselves in the Spirit, and we pray, things do happen. Hey, thanks for sharing that. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to read an invitation to you. I want to read an invitation to you in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. It's wonderful, it's precious, it's extraordinary. Therefore, brothers, Hebrews 10:19, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Wow. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. What a great word. All right, let me grab one more call. Michael in Boston. We're a little short on time, so dive right in.
Hi, this is Michael, and I learned very early in life that prayer was to turn your mind and heart to God. And so I do that through Christian meditation and through reading the Word, and also morning and evening prayer. But making the time is the important thing, because then it gives you, you know, a sense of God in your life and a sense of how to deal with things.
Yeah, and Michael, on the one hand, I could have started there at the beginning of the show with we have to pray. When I posted the question on Facebook, one of my grads made the comment when I said, what are keys to effective prayer? His answer was pray. So, yeah, actually, determining this is important. Basically, if we just let it happen, just like if we let exercise happen or we let other things just happen, they never happen. And prayer in particular, because it's a spiritual exercise and because it's the most effective thing we can do and because it's against the flesh and it's against the devil, it's the most opposed thing that we can do. And if we don't determine that this is going to find priority in our lives, you're absolutely right, it won't happen. Hey, Michael, thanks for weighing in. And in a sense, we said last what we need to say first, which is pray. Pray. Make a determination. You say, I hear about people praying for hours a day. I'm not praying at all. Pray 5 minutes a day. You're praying 5 minutes a day? Pray 15. Make a determination. You know, today started, and it's this typical day. So many things going on, emails to respond to, calls to return, issues to focus on. And I just said to myself, you are getting on your knees before you do anything. It's like, you are getting on your knees. And we've got to prioritize prayer and then pray through, take hold, don't give up, don't quit. The answers will come. I want to do my best to equip you in a practical way. There's only so much we can cover on the program. That's why we make available to you resources that really are life-changing. And I get so encouraged when I get the testimonies, the emails, the calls, meet the people whose lives have been changed. So we've got two CDs for your computer MP3 player, each with 12 hours of teaching, one on prayer, one on intercession. They're normally $20 each plus postage. You can get both today for $20. That's 24 hours of teaching for $20, and we're paying the postage as well. But call today to order at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. You can order online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Your lives will be changed by these resources, and this helps us reach more people through this radio ministry as well. My bottom line, God has opened the door for us. God has opened the door so wide, and he's given us a direct invitation. And he said, ask and seek and knock. And whoever asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. What's stopping us? There's nothing more important we can do than pray. And prayer is the most effective ministry of all ministries. We'll be talking about keys to effective prayer on the broadcast today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's Tuesday on The Line of Fire. We are focused on Bible theology, practical living, apologetics. And today, perhaps the most practical thing of all, and certainly the most important thing in terms of effective ministry, prayer. Prayer. How to pray effectively. How to break through in prayer. If you would like to share your ideas, your thoughts, from your own experience on keys to effective prayer, things in your own life that have helped you not just to commune with God, not just to spend time with him, which is the foundation of all foundations, relationship with him, being with him, but also to pray effectively so as to see change come, so as to see answers come, so as to see breakthroughs come. Give us a call at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or weigh in online on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. In my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, which asks the question, is the charismatic church slain in the spirit or down for the count? It's been republished together with It's Time to Rock the Boat. Chapter 9 is called Prayer is Mightier Than the Pen. And I say that the key to true power is perseverance in private prayer. Prayer prevails. Prayer produces. Prayer is preeminent. God calls us to persistent prayer. Luke 3:21-22, prayer opens up the heavens. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. Prayer transforms. Luke 9:28-29, Jesus took Peter, John, and James, Jacob with him and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of light. Prayer gets resounding results. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. D.L. Moody said, those who have left the deepest impression on the sin-cursed earth have been men and women of prayer. Let me repeat that. Last hour I quoted from Moody and I repeated it. I want to repeat this Moody quote as well. Those who have left the deepest impression on the sin-cursed earth have been men and women of prayer. You know, I've read books that were good books, but not maybe the best written books, and maybe without a lot of research behind them, but they were good books. And then I find out that, you know, for generations they've had this mega impact on people. And you learn that the person who wrote that book was really a person of prayer and that God anointed those words. Hey, look, I'm on the radio. By God's grace, I've got a good-sized national audience and a growing national audience. And by God's grace, I'd like to see this ministry that God has given us, this voice that God has given us, spread to every part of America and around the world. But what's the use of words unless God's speaking, unless God's working? Unless there's power, unless there's anointing. I don't mean that every word I say is, thus saith the Lord, and we put on the echo and thunder and so. No, I don't mean that. But if I'm not speaking words from God's heart, if I'm not speaking words that are anointed, if I'm not speaking words that are impacting, it's just words, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 4, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, meaning words only, meaning empty words. The kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but of power. So through this entire broadcast, I want to encourage you to pray. I want to stir your heart to pray. I want to remind you of powerful truths about prayer and talk about what it really means to share God's heart. We'll come back, look at some scriptures, take your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Get ready to be charged to pray.
Oh, God of mercy.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Prayer. We know how important prayer is. We know how important asking God is. And look, face it. There's so many things that we need to see happen that can't happen unless God intervenes. Everything that my heart burns to see in America, the church revived, the nation transformed, everything that my heart burns to see in the nations, God's Spirit poured out in the nations, Jewish people turning to Him, none of this can happen without God's supernatural intervention. You know what it's like? It's like your car is empty or just about to run out of gas. So rather than going to a gas station, you just say, I'm going to go faster and faster and faster on the road. You know, or I just don't have time to stop and get gas. Well, the car will die. The car has got one-tenth of an eighth of a gallon left, and you got 500 miles to go. We just run faster, harder. What we need to do is slow ourselves down. Yeah, I'm speaking to myself as well as you, and get in the presence of God and seek His face so that answers come. 866-34-TRUTH. What are some keys to effective prayer? 866-348-7884. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Luke 18:1, Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Romans 1:9-10, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of His Son, Paul writing, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. 1 Samuel 12:23 is for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. 2 Timothy 1:3, Paul writes, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. Wow. And look, this is the Word of God urging us to pray. The Word says more about prayer than it says about studying the Word. Yes, study the Word is important, and it's through the Word that we know God's promises and ways, and He speaks to us and encourages us and corrects us and a thousand other things. But the Word is constantly calling us to pray. Ask. God is saying, ask. Can I be His voice today? Speaking to all of you, wherever you are, can I be His voice? He is saying, ask. He is saying, heaven is open. He is saying there's access to the throne of God through Jesus. Ask. In fact, far, 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 far more than we have prayers that haven't been answered, we have prayers that have never been prayed. I don't know that I've ever said it quite in that way before, but it strikes me very profoundly at this moment. Far, far more then we have prayers that have not been answered. We have prayers that have never been prayed, meaning things we could have asked for, things we should have asked for, things we needed to ask for, things that would glorify God if we asked for, things that would change other lives if we asked for, that we haven't even bothered to ask or certainly to stay with it. What are keys to breaking through in prayer? Keys to effective prayer. 866-34-TRUTH, online, ask drbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. I'm just looking at some of the comments on our Facebook page. What do you feel are some of the most important keys to having breakthroughs in prayer? Ronnie says, persistence. Andrew, speak to the Lord from your heart. Avoid repetition for repetition's sake. Joseph, faith that you will actually receive what you ask. Daniel, entering into prayer already with the spirit of breakthrough. Know the Word, be in relationship with, proclaim it boldly as you remain totally yielded, thy will be done. We know in part. Jennifer, persistence without repetition. Who would want to have a conversation with someone that said the same thing over and over again? That's not a real relationship. By the way, I absolutely agree with that. I would say, though, that there are times when real relationship causes you to pour out your heart to say, Oh, God, I can't let you go until you answer. Oh, God. And it's not just repetition for repetition's sake, as others are rightly saying, but it is because there has to be an answer. It would be like there's a doctor who can perform surgery. He's the only one in the world that can perform this surgery. And you've got a slight chance of getting him on his cell phone to get him over to the hospital because he doesn't know about this need. And there's a slight chance because he's in and out of range. You call until you get through. Well, we're not trying to make a connection with God, but there are obstacles. There are things to overcome. There is spiritual warfare. There are many things that take place, and therefore we persist. We hold on. We believe. We don't let go until the breakthroughs come. 866-34-TRUTH. Mark in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you for taking the call. I agree with all of those things that you just read from Facebook. My only problem with them is 1 John 5:14-15. I can be really, really sincere, come to the Lord a lot. But if it's not His will, then I think that's the most important thing we need to think about. And when I teach on prayer, that's what I do. I take people to 1 John 5:14-15, which says, now this is a confidence that we have in approaching Him, that if you ask anything according to His will, He'll hear you. And if you know that He hears you, no matter what you ask, you know that you have the petition you've asked of Him. And I tell people, the problem is oftentimes we don't have confidence. And so those two verses really sound like this. And now this is the lack of confidence that we have in Him, that unless we're lucky enough to ask something that's His will, we're not sure He's going to hear us. And if we're not sure He's going to hear us, no matter what we ask, mm-hmm. we have no clue if we're going to receive that which we've asked of Him. And so having and knowing God's will is what's preeminent. And I believe that verse bears it out. I believe another verse that bears it out is James 1:6, because James 1:6 says that when you pray, do not waver in the King James, or do not doubt. And this is the place that we wish James would have put a period, because verse 7, he says, and if you do doubt, do not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
All right, so let me just jump in, Mark.
Okay.
Interestingly, when I talked about this last hour from some other angles, the first caller that called in was making the same point and from a different angle about okay. praying scripture back to God. But if someone says, well, how do I control doubt? I mean, I'm not trying to doubt. I don't want to doubt. And here it says in James, Jacob, the first chapter, don't doubt. What do you tell that person?
Great question, because I had to experience that myself 3.5 years ago. I was on my knees at the sofa where I always pray, and I started thinking about that verse. And all I had to do was laugh at myself because I knew I was doubting. And so here's what I did. I said, Lord, I am going to take your word for truth. Surprise, surprise. And I'm not getting off my knees until you show me in your word how I'm supposed to pray about this. It was very interesting. He did not show me what the final outcome was going to be. He did not show me his overall will, but he did show me, based on where I was at and what the situation was in Scripture, how to pray. And so now all of a sudden, I took the time to look in Scripture, and now all of a sudden, I could pray with absolute confidence. Mm-hmm. I could pray without doubting at all. And that's, I believe, the way God wants us to pray.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I remember when our daughters were little. They're now 34 and almost 33. But when they were little, one day I said to them, we're at home with Nancy, and I said, hey, tomorrow, why don't we go out for some ice cream tomorrow when I get home? And okay, great, we'll go out for ice cream. And they're all excited about it. And the next day I got home, I said, hey, you know, schedule just changed a little bit. Time's a little tight. We'll have a lot more time to go for ice cream tomorrow. You want to go tomorrow instead? And they instantly started crying, tears streaming down their little cheeks. But Daddy, you promised. And the
right
way
analogy.
They said it, you would have thought that I had slit my wrist and taken the blood and written by oath, I give you my solemn and sacred word that we will go for ice cream. But at that moment, I realized, okay, you better believe we're going, because if they can't trust their earthly dad, how are they going to trust their heavenly dad? But that's what he loves. So he said, but God, right. you promised. And
that's
there
a great
it is.
Point.
It's,
and, that, he, and that's why we need to look at I agree. And that's why we need to look at those things that he's promised. And if I could say just one more thing, and if not,
sure.
just tell me.
Go ahead.
The other thing that I run into in churches when I speak is sin. And I remind them, there are verses we hate to find. Like 1 Peter 3:7 that says, if there's something between you and your wife, your prayers will be hindered. I say, Lord, that's not fair. My wife is human. Now, she's nearly perfect, but she's human still. Every now and then she gets up my nose. But the truth is, if there's something between me and my wife, my prayers will be hindered. And if Isaiah 59:2 is true, then sin separates me from God. So I have got to deal with some of those things in my life before I begin to talk to God about what He has already promised in his word.
Yeah, and you know the saying that either sin will keep you from prayer or prayer will keep you from sin. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling in and sharing that. I appreciate it.
Blessings.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to share some more scripture with you. I want to share some more quotes with you and encourage you. The door is open. The door is open. The invitation has been given. The provision is there. I know sometimes we don't see breakthroughs. I know sometimes there are obstacles to overcome. I know sometimes it feels hopeless. That's why Jesus tells us and the Word tells us, keep asking, persisting, believing, God will act. The answer will come.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. May I repeat the words of Jesus, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, whoever knocks the door will be opened. Ah, that's what he said. What man is there of you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. If he asks for fish, we'll give him a snake. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Matthew 7, Luke 11. That's the Lord speaking, and it's a continuous asking, knocking, seeking until the answers come. We're talking about keys to effective prayer today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You know, during the breaks, I'm just looking at some news, getting some breaking news items and other things happening. You know, just there's a lot happening around the world. Prime Minister Berlusconi fallen basically voted out in Italy. Within the week, news of the leader of Greece, Prime Minister of Greece, plans to be stepping down. Scandals rocking one of the best-known figures in college football, a revered figure in college football, on, and shakings in our government. And there's a lot happening. There's a lot happening. I'm reminded that we need to be those that, that get on our knees or that get alone in a focused way, or that get with a group of people in faith, and we look to the God of the universe. We look to the King. We look to the Creator. We look to the One who rules and reigns, and we say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, answer. Oh, God, hear. Oh, God, act. Your name be glorified. Father, your name be glorified. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 866-34-TRUTH, your thoughts on keys to effective prayer. Sometimes I will pray through the Lord's Prayer. There are times in my life when I'll do it more frequently than others. And I'll just begin to pray that through, Father, your name be glorified. Lord, may the people of this earth worship and know you as God. And I'll just go through different prayers like that. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll pray that for fire for our community. I'll pray it for our ministry work. I'll pray it for my own personal life. I'll pray it for family. Lord, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. And Lord, your will be done in our family. Lord, your will be done in this work that we're doing. And even though they're not specific prayers, they are general prayers that say and call to God for everything to line up in accordance with his will. And then there are times when we're just so burdened and overwhelmed with a situation, all we can do is cry out. Don't cry out just emotionally, but set your heart in faith that God is good, that he's faithful, that he does what's best, that he's given promises, that he's accessible, so that your prayers will make a difference. 866-34-TRUTH. Jennifer in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. My issue is more of a fear instead of faith. Several years ago, I prayed some prayers that I didn't realize how big they were and how much it was going to require of me before those prayers were answered.
Yeah.
A lot of trials, you know, James talks about that the trials complete us Mm-hmm. So sometimes now when I pray, you know, I pray big prayers, but I'm at the same time saying, Lord, help me to not be fearful. Help me to be faithful and strong that you will, that I'll be strong to do whatever it is you ask me to do to bring this about.
Yeah, and I think the thing we have to do, Jennifer, is focus more on God's goodness, on God's promises, on God's faithfulness, on his greatness, to focus more on that than to focus on the negative things or the things that could bring fear or the consequences or the challenges. And I think if you do that, then that'll give you that peace that it's not just about going through this on your own or you pray and now, you know, just you're left on your own, but that as God works and moves or as he requires things of us, it's with him in fellowship together with him, in harmony with him. And he promises us if we walk through the fire, so there may be fire, we won't be burned, that we can pass through trials and tests and come out stronger, better in the end. And I look at things in my life that I wish I could have done differently to have avoided. I wish I didn't make certain mistakes. I wish I didn't do certain things the way I did over the years. But in retrospect, what I learned through that and how God worked through that in a redemptive way, I'm a far better person in God than I would have been otherwise. So that's the confidence. You know, Lord, I'm leaning on you, and whatever this path is that this prayer is going to lead me down, I know it's ultimately going to be for the best. And that's what gives us confidence. Even if the thing itself feels intense, we know we come through it shining like gold on the other end. So take that confidence, you know, remember the final results and remember that God is with you in the midst of the fire. Thanks for calling 866-34-TRUTH. We'll take some more calls. Take some more calls in a moment. Some great Andrew Murray prayer quotes. I haven't read some of these in quite some time. The sin of prayerlessness is the cause of a powerless spiritual life. And what strikes me when I read those words is not the whole sentence, but those four opening words, the sin of prayerlessness. Oh, ouch. Prayerlessness is a sin. How does Satan hinder prayer, Murray writes? By temptation to postpone or curtail it, by bringing in wandering thoughts and all sorts of distraction through unbelief and hopelessness. I've got to repeat that. It's so rich. Andrew Murray, how does Satan hinder prayer? By temptation to postpone or curtail it, by bringing in wandering thoughts and all sorts of distractions through unbelief and hopelessness. Murray also said, he that waits to pray or who loses heart in prayer because he does not yet feel the faith needed to get the answer will never learn to believe. Boy, those are so profound. My problem reading Andrew Murray books is I want to underline every line, 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 because they're so powerful. We've done our best to put together a really helpful resource tool. The best teaching I've ever done on prayer and on intercession. Two CDs, each with eight messages, eight teachings, about an hour and a half each on each one. So that's 12 hours on each CD. One on foundations of prayer, one on foundations of intercession. You'll find it eye-opening. You'll find it life-changing, inspiring, encouraging, and practical and scriptural. The two together, 24 hours of teaching, just $20, and we'll pay the postage. So that's better than a savings of 50%, and this will enable, hopefully, every one of you listening to be able to get this. 1-800-278-9978. If I can help you be more effective in prayer, what an extraordinary privilege that will be and what a difference that will make. So take advantage of this opportunity. Foundations of Prayer, Foundations of Intercession, 24 hours of teaching, just $20, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Prayer is our focus today. What could be a better focus? Breaking through in prayer, prevailing in prayer, praying prayers that bring about change, prayers that move mountains. After all, we're praying to Almighty God. After all, we're asking Almighty God to act, to work, to move. After all, we're not saying, Lord, take my best efforts and add to them or multiply them. We're saying, God, move. God, act. God, do the impossible. What hinders us from praying? What are keys to effective prayer? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Our resource offer today, 24 hours of teaching on prayer and intercession. You can find out about that online. I'll tell you more about it later in the broadcast. Also, something that ties in with shows from yesterday, an article that is now up on Town Hall. How do you feel about a Christian America? It's on townhall.com. How do you feel about a, quote, Christian America? You'll find it an eye-opening and practical article as well. Jesus needed to pray. Yeah, think of that. Luke 6, Mark 1, Luke 5. I'll just read the verses. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The Son of God gave himself to prayer, not in spite of the crowds, but because of the crowds. Without prayer, even he could do nothing. Prayer was his lifeline to the Father. Peter needed to pray. This was his pattern before the Spirit fell. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they went upstairs to the upper room where they were staying. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Acts 1. After he was Spirit-immersed, his habit didn't change. When the grieving disciples brought Peter into the room where Tabitha, Dorcas, was laid, Acts 9, he sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. Paul needed to pray. When he was struck down on the road to Damascus, blind for 3 days, eating, drinking, nothing, what was he doing? The Lord told Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Acts 9. Throughout his many years of ministry, he never graduated from the school of prayer. Acts 28. Publius's father was sick in bed, suffering from dysentery and fever. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. So I think we can recognize we're no better than Jesus, Peter, or Paul, meaning we need to pray. When we concentrate in prayer, things happen. Unfortunately, we're often lax, distracted. Isn't that the truth? Moody Stewart in the 1800s had three rules for prayer. Number one, pray till you pray. I've quoted that many times over the years, not so much recently, but was reminded of it today. Pray till you pray. Just saying words, just getting in a posture of prayer, just going to a prayer meeting is not necessarily praying. Then his second rule, pray till you are conscious of being heard. And then third, pray till you receive the answer. It is so important for us to focus on what God has spoken, to focus on what is written, to take hold of it, to believe it, to renew our minds with it, to speak it out, to remind God of what he's promised, to remind ourselves of what he's promised, to stay with it, be it in one session praying through until an answer comes, or daily for weeks or months or years until the answer comes, and then to testify, to share with one another. Have you heard what the Lord did? To write it down, to journal it. And then sometimes the things that seem overwhelming, impossible, oh, there's no way out. The answer comes, we don't even remember what the need was. In fact, I want to share a funny situation, an encouraging situation, when we come back. We'll take your calls right here on the Line of Fire.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. We're focused on prayer. Tuesdays, we focus on Bible, theology, practical living, and apologetics. So we're looking at prayer. And, you know, if I had no ministry and God could only give me one, in other words, I didn't have a daily radio show. I wasn't writing books. I wasn't teaching at schools and leading a school. I wasn't traveling and preaching and ministering in the nations and whatever other ministries God's privileged me to be involved with, or getting involved in individual lives and being a spiritual father or mentor or whatever. And there was only one thing I was able to do, only one. I'd have to take prayer. I mean, what could be more effective than prayer? Going to God and saying, oh, God, move. Oh, God, act. Oh, God, answer. Oh, God, touch this one and move in this situation, that situation. What could be more important than prayer? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. That's Ask Dr. Brown. Okay, I'm going to go to the phones in a moment and read you some more scriptures, some more quotes as well. But some time ago, I was tremendously burdened, often because we're in a real faith stance here on our broadcast and in our ministry, in our school, in our missions work. We're under tremendous financial pressure. We're believing God for breakthroughs, not to pay big salaries. In fact, the closer you get to our ministry, the better you feel about the modest nature of compensation and things like that and how we all live. But just paying staff, just caring for our workers around the world, just meeting needs, and then it works out in your personal life where there's not money. And God's been faithful. We've seen his faithfulness through the years, experienced it firsthand. Well, I wrote down one time, I was under tremendous pressure, and I wrote out by hand a prayer request that I had on my tablet PC then, so I kept a handwritten note. God, if you don't answer, it's over. If you don't answer now, it's over. In other words, the ministry can't go on. If the breakthrough doesn't come now, it's over. Some months, not some years, some months later, I found the prayer request. And I couldn't remember what the situation was. I had no recollection whatsoever what this urgent life and death situation actually was. Meaning that sometimes we think it's all over and it's not that desperate. And I know sometimes it is life and death. I understand that. And other times God intervenes and we forget that he even intervened. That's why writing it down and journaling it and then being grateful and thankful and testifying. No, not just that the cold went away after a week and a half. It's going to go away anyway. But by seeing a breakthrough, because we cried out and God moved and God answered and he did what he promised to do. There's power to that. And then when we get in deeper in prayer, Romans 8 talks about it, that we sometimes don't know what to pray for, and the Spirit himself makes intercession with groanings that can't be uttered, that the burden, the pain is intense, and you travail, and you groan, and you cry, and you share God's heart. I'll tell you, that's very sacred to me. To me, it's like a woman having a birth pang, a contraction, that each contraction is getting the delivery of that child closer and closer and closer and closer. And when I get gripped to pray for someone or to pray for a situation, and I'm gripped with travail, and I'm overwhelmed with the burden, well, I tell you, even without seeing the answer, I'm greatly encouraged that the answer is a step closer and that God is at work. And in fact, he himself moved on me to pray in that way. 866-34-TRUTH. Rachel in San Francisco, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Actually, my question was what you had just addressed, and that is if speaking in tongues is a prayer language or a secret prayer language. That I've heard that I've been taught this, so I was wondering what your thoughts were on it.
Yeah, sure. Paul addresses this quite directly, Rachel, in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And although I have my own experience in my life that confirms this. I base everything on what's written in Scripture. And
yes.
Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 14:1, anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit or in the spirit. So he's not talking about speaking a foreign language here, because he says no one understands. But this is speaking to God. And then he says this, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He's not putting this down. He's not saying it's negative. Elsewhere in Ephesians 6, he urges us to pray in the spirit, which at the very least includes praying in other tongues. Now, that's for those who are not Pentecostal or charismatic, that was a dog in the background. That was not some strange demonic manifestation. That was a dog in the background. All right, you got the dog under control there, Rachel? Just want to make things clear, because some people think, oh, she's talking about tongues, they do all these weird things. No, that was a dog. That was a dog yelping. Okay, so Paul's not putting down edifying ourselves. He's saying, but it's not the place to get up and do that in public. In other words, if I'm getting up to preach and I speak in tongues for half an hour, oh, I might be mightily edified, but I've done absolutely no good for anyone whatsoever. So he addresses praying in the Spirit, praying with the Spirit later on in the chapter as well. He says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. And I know that I have many listeners who don't speak in tongues, who are not charismatic. Let me simply say that Paul explicitly says to forbid not speaking in tongues. And in my own experience, many times when I've prayed for long periods of time, I've spent hours praying in tongues, my spirit being mightily edified, my mind communing with the Lord, and then sometimes a burden will rise. I'll understand what I'm praying for, and sometimes it'll become more and more intense, where all I can do is groan and sigh, just like you're in pain because you feel a tremendous burden. And it's quite natural. I mean, you might be terribly burdened for a friend that's dying or for a loved one that's in terrible pain, and you just sigh and you sob over their condition. Well, we turn that to prayer, and it can really bring something to birth. And that's what I believe Paul's speaking about in Romans, the 8th chapter, whether it's something that's uttered and articulated, whether it's a groan inside of us, an oh God type of thing, or whether it's actually groaning that comes through us. It is prayer. Prayer is not only saying words with our understanding. Prayer is also the cry of our heart, the burden of our heart. Sometimes the sigh and pain within us going up to God in faith is prayer. So praying in the Spirit, definitely including praying in tongues, is very effective. And again, we do that, and we also pray with our understanding, and it's very fruitful. So there you go.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Rachel. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Joey, Andrew, how many calls have we taken over the years without hearing a dog bark? I can't remember. Baby cry sometimes. You think it's, I don't know, maybe once dog barking. And then of course, it'll be somebody. Yeah, baby crying, we'll hear that. Or somebody maybe with New York callers, sirens on the streets. That'll happen. Often with good timing, we'll be talking about something urgent. Next thing, sirens are going off. All right, so the consensus here is a dog, never. This is our first dog bark. We'll have to have someone research every broadcast over the last 3.5 years and see if there have been any other. All right, Andrew, you're on it. Let me know there. Let me know. All right, Maureen in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Maureen.
Oh, hello. Yes.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I've been a believer for about 20 years now, and there's been one issue in my life that I've been praying and, you know, oh, Lord, you know, help me, oh, God, and pleading and, you know, in the pits and up and down and believing and wavering. And a couple of weeks ago, I came across the book, Victory in Christ, down in my library there. And I know I've read it a couple of times before, but this time I read it and the Lord revealed a whole new revelation to me about prayer. In this book, it's Victory in Christ by Charles G. Trumbull. And it's a little pocket book, but oh my gosh, already in 2 weeks, it's just changed my life tremendously. I came to realize that, of course, we have to be totally surrendered to Christ in prayer and this book, and then we have to let go of all our besetting sins. You know, if we want victory in Christ, then we have to let go of our besetting sins, and we have to stick really close to the Lord. Then when we're yielded totally, Christ in me, and me in Christ, the hope of glory, we've already been given all the spiritual blessings we need. So now I'm not asking him per se, I just am thanking him every day for the victory and praising him for the victory. And this book, it explains, don't ask him anymore. We already have the victory in Christ.
All right. Hey, Maureen, I appreciate the call. I'm going to give some comments on the other side of the break, but thanks for weighing in.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire as we focus on prayer, effective prayer, prayer that makes a difference, prayer that breaks through. Just want to comment on what our previous caller said. On the one hand, absolutely true, we have victory in Jesus. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is ours in him. And it's great to begin with worship, adoration, and thanksgiving. Remember what he's done and who we are in him. And with that foundation, to ask. Paul knew this, didn't he? And he asked continually. He was continually asking God for the congregations, for individuals he was involved with, that God would work in their lives in certain ways. Jesus, Yeshua, asked. He prays the great high priestly prayer in John, the 17th chapter. Paul exhorts us in Philippians 4, 6 through 8, to make our petitions known to God, to ask. Jesus tells us, ask, seek, knock. So we come from that place of victory. We come from that place of breakthrough. We come from that place knowing that God has already answered and blessed in so many ways. And then we ask based on that. And the sad thing is that it's amazing that we can know so much about prayer and pray so little. Let me just read you a couple more quotes here. Charles Finney: "Now do not deceive yourselves with thinking that you offer effectual prayer unless you have this intense desire for the blessing. I do not believe in it. Prayer is not effectual unless it is offered up with an agony of desire." He's talking about to really break through and get these critical situations. Take hold in a focused, fervent, faith-filled way. The Apostle Paul, Finney says, speaks of it as a travail of the soul. Jesus Christ, when he was in the garden, praying in the garden, was in such an agony that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. He says, "I've never known a person sweat blood, but I've known a person to pray till the blood started from his nose. And I've known a person to pray till they were all wet with perspiration in the coldest weather in winter. I've known persons to pray for hours till their strength was all exhausted with the agony of their minds. Such prayers prevailed with God." We're talking about breaking through. Catherine Booth said, "Prayer is agony of soul, or wrestling of the spirit. You know how men and women deal with one another when they're in desperate earnestness for something to be done. That is prayer, whether it be to man or to God. And when you get your heart influenced and melted and wrought up and burdened by the Holy Ghost for souls, you will have power, and you will never pray, but somebody will be convinced," meaning convicted. "Some poor soul's dark eyes will be opened, and spiritual life will commence." Great author on prayer, McIntyre, said this: "When prayer rises to its true level, self, with its concerns and needs, is for the time forgotten, and the interest of Christ fill and sometimes overwhelm the soul. It is then that prayers become most urgent and intense." Livingston reports of Robert Bruce that in prayer, every sentence was like a strong bolt shot up to heaven. The biographer Richard Baxter tells us that when he gathered his spirit together to pray, it took wing to heaven. And is related in similar terms of Archbishop Layton, that his manner of praying was so earnest and importunate as proved that his soul mounted up to God in the flame of his own aspirations. You say, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty lofty stuff. Well, how about this? Focus. If you're really pressed in a situation where you had to persuade, you had to get the answer, you had to break through, what would you do? That's how we should approach God. And he urges us to. He says, "Call to me." Even in dire situations, that's the backdrop for when he tells that to Jeremiah. "Call to me, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. Vic in Denver, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, awesome talk today. I'm enjoying it. You're giving those quotes. They're awesome. One I gave my daughters was, if you do not pray, you will be prey. Kind of a play on words there. And when I pray to the Lord, I think I like to ask the Lord to show me how he would be glorified in the answer that I'm requesting. And if you just comment on that, that's all I've got. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much, Vic. Certainly, when we pray, if we remember that glorifying God is always paramount, that, yeah, God cares. I mean, we need to remember that when his people are sick and hurting and in need, he cares. That's important to him. He's compassionate. It says in the Psalms, Psalm 145, he has compassion over all his works. Jesus was often moved with compassion to heal and work and deliver. And yet, it's not only that. It's also so that God can be glorified. So I've often prayed that as the basis for my prayer. Lord, demonstrate your power. Lord, let the world see that you're the living and true God. Don't let the name of Jesus be mocked. Lord, you've called me to do this, and you know that your name will be glorified. I've told them things, Lord, if you give me this platform, I'll glorify you. If you open this door, if you provide the funds, I will glorify you. I will magnify you. I will lift you up. And as we do that, we can be so confident that the prayers we're praying are not for selfish concerns or not even to meet a legitimate need only, but to meet that need so that the world can see and we can experience the goodness of God. Hey, Vic, thanks for that observation. I appreciate it. Look, the pattern of prayer that the Lord gave us in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, Father, hallowed be your name. May the name of God, may Yahweh's name be glorified, be hallowed. That's where we start, that the whole world will know him and recognize him. And that means that in the micro things, the little things, the tiny things, that as God works in those, as God shows his power in the little things, as God demonstrates his love in the little things, as God shows his care and concern in the little things, that out of that, the great, mighty, wonderful, powerful answers come. And that out of that, confidence comes from more. Remember, the God who did that tiny little thing for you that seems so insignificant, but was absolutely, definitely an answer to prayer, that was without question an answer to prayer. Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself. That little thing is a sign of God's nearness. Perhaps this is important for some of you listening right now, that you haven't seen the big answer come, but you got a little deposit, you got a little down payment, you got a little taste, you got a little encouragement that something is going to break, that something is going to happen, that something is going to change. Be strong with that. Let that encourage you to keep pressing in for the rest. And may I urge you, encourage you, recommend to you that you get 24 hours of teaching that I have on prayer and intercession, two CDs for your computer MP3 player, both with 8 teaching sessions, about an hour and a half of each session. So it's 12 hours on each one. We've cut the price in half, and we're paying the postage to get these to you. So this is not some big profit thing, but nothing we do on the broadcast is. But it's a way of getting this out to you, interacting with you, equipping you, strengthening you, helping you. If we can help you pray, man, we will be gratified. Two complete series on prayer and intercession. $20 postage paid. That's 24 hours of teaching for just $20. But call it 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or you can order online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for today's special offer. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, pray as if your life depended on it. Pray as if the world depended on it. Pray as if the glory of God depended on it. And you will find the importance and power